Hey folks, Randy Newberg here with another episode of Leupold's Hunt Talk Radio. Practicing my self-distancing, shelter in place, and all the other things that are disrupting or altering our lives at this point. kind of trying to figure out how we should do our content, just because there's so much uncertainty right now. We want to give information, but we don't want to sound like we're, I guess, what would you say, going over the top with promoting stuff or doing whatever that people roll their eyes and say, Newberg, you know, we got bigger issues on our hands right now, and I fully understand that. That's kind of why this podcast is probably a few days later than it should be. I've just been struggling with how do I provide content when people have such way, way bigger issues that they're worried about right now. So, been seeking a lot of input from my crew that are out on my Hunt Talk forum, and they've been a good sounding board. And kind of the summary, what I gathered from a lot of that is, you know what? Produce content, do podcasts, do stuff that give us a distraction, because we're all looking for some reason to be distracted. So that's what we're going to keep doing. This podcast here is about applying in Colorado, the deadline for the things that I usually focus on, elk and deer. That deadline is April 7th. Don't want to miss those deadlines. I mean, that's always the big thing, right? Don't miss the deadline. I think, what is it? I'm looking here on the regulations, 8 o'clock that evening, April 7th, mountain time. So don't miss that. Colorado is a true preference point state. It's known for hosting a ton of elk hunters because they have the largest elk population in the country. Depending on the year, varies from 250,000 to 280,000. Colorado is known for the best mule deer hunting on the North American continent as far as quality mixed with a lot of opportunity. It's just places you want to be applying. When I get into the fee stuff, I say this being fully sensitive that right now people are probably holding on to their money saying, you know, until this all clears, I think I might just buy a point, or I might pass, or whatever. It's going to be hard decisions people got to make, but I'm going to jump into that and get it out of the way. Colorado forces you to buy an annual small game license, and that's going to cost you just under $83. And then they make you buy a habitat stamp, which is another $10 and change. And then there's the application fee for whatever species you apply for. In Colorado, I apply for deer and I apply for elk. Now, I'm not going to get into all the rules related to moose, goat, sheep, other stuff. Those are the only two species I apply for in Colorado. So by the time I'm all done doing my elk and deer application, the license, the stamp, I'm into it about $110, $112. Colorado doesn't accept paper applications, so you got to do it online. They have a true preference point system in Colorado, and that is one of the things that I tell people you got to be paying attention to, because Colorado started their point system way earlier than anyone else. And as we've said many times, preference points means the person with the most tags gets the point, or gets the tag. And because Colorado started this so long ago, they have a lot of people, I mean a lot of people, who have way more points than you think. So you'll be watching and saying, oh, all right, I've got 8 deer points. This could just be that year I get the tag. Well, there are so many people who've been on the sidelines buying points maybe ahead of you that they jump in and the people with 9 or 10 points grab all the tags. And you're like, man, I thought I'd get it with 8. Well, they call that point creep. And it's a good thing to look and see how much or how big the pile of point buyers is out in front of you in both these species, because it creates a significant I guess, disappointment when it builds an expectation that, oh, I should draw this year, and then you end up not drawing. For me, I seldom accumulate more than 3 points in Colorado for deer. There's plenty of good hunts to go on there with 2 or 3 points that I seldom get above that. With elk, you know, I burned 19 elk points in 2016, and now I'm back up to 3 points, and I just don't see myself accumulating ever more than 5 points. And the reason that is in Colorado, the quality of hunt you're going to have in with 3 to 5 points versus 10 to 15 points isn't that big. It's not that big of a difference. So I'd rather go hunting 3 or 4 times over the course of that 15 years than to go once. So that's kind of my theory, how I look at it. I know everyone else is probably going to have a different idea to it, but what I'm going to talk about real quickly is the limited entry draw for elk and deer. So everything for deer is on a limited entry draw. And for elk, some is on a limited entry draw and some can be over the counter. Now it's changing a lot. Like this year, there's some units in Southwest Colorado that previously were over the counter tags for archery that this year you're going to have to apply for them in the limited entry draw. All of the muzzleloader hunts that occur in September, so they overlap the archery and muzzleloader hunters together for about a 7 or 8 day period in the middle of September. This year, those dates would be September 12th through the 20th, so 9 days of having both in the woods. Everything that's muzzleloader for elk is on a limited entry draw. So they're very, very generous to non-residents in Colorado. For most units, not all, they give 35% of the tags go to non-residents. And I think it's any unit that requires more than 6 points, or any hunt code that requires more than 6 resident points to draw, that's in a different category, and they only give 20% of those tags to non-residents. So it's still way more generous than a lot of states. Colorado is one of those states where if you're playing the point game, there is some predictability to when you can go. Yeah, I talked about point creep and that can mess you up at times, but usually if you're a point or two ahead of the curve, you know that some people might jump in, but they're not going to jump in. The people ahead of me aren't going to jump in. So there is some predictability that people like about the preference point system. For me, I just look at, all right, when can I possibly go and get the most value for my points, and I'll throw my name in the hat and see if it works. So this year, I've got 3 elk points, and I'm going to throw my name in the hat in a first rifle season hunt for elk. That last year at 3 points, you weren't guaranteed. A few people at 3 points drew, but no guarantee. So I'm always kind of hoping I can get the best value out of my points in that respect. Season dates are pretty standard. They're changing next year. This year, I'll read them off to you. If you get a chance, go out to the Colorado Fish or Parks and Wildlife website. They have a form called the Big Game Hunting Planner. It has all of the dates for 2020, all of the dates for 2021. So when you see these dates for deer and for elk, it might cause you to say, maybe I want to try in 2020, or no, maybe I want to wait, get another point and try in 2021. So, I'll just use for deer. Okay. Deer, they have an archery season that this year is, let's see, September 2nd through the 30th. And I'm talking about mostly west of the Continental Divide, or west of I-25. The stuff out on the plains, it's mostly all private. Not all, but mostly. And so they have different season dates. So the season dates I'm mostly talking about are the stuff in the western two-thirds of the state. So the archery season, September 2nd to the 30th. For elk and deer, the muzzleloader season, September 12th through the 20th. And then we get into these first, second, third, and fourth rifle seasons. So this year, the first rifle season is October 10th through the 14th. Well, next year, because of how they're changing their five-year season or calendar structure, next year that moves from October 10th to the 14th all the way out to October 16th to the 20th. So if you're saying, well, you know, I'll probably have a little bit better weather a week earlier. There might be a few bulls still hanging around the cows bugling. So for elk, maybe you'd say, I like those season dates in 2020 better than 2021. But then let's look at season dates for deer. So this year, the second season for deer in Colorado is October 24th through November 1st. Well, next year, it's October 30th through November 7th. So next year, the second season is as late as some of the prior third seasons have been. And then this is the one I think that's really going to catch a lot of people's attention, is the deer season, the third rifle deer season. This year's November 7th through the 13th, which are darn good dates. Next year, they're November 13th through the 19th. That's crazy. That is 7 days right in the heart of the rut. And this will be the latest that Colorado has ever had their third season deer tag, rifle deer tag. So when I say this, what I mean is 2021 will be the latest that I'm aware of that they've ever had it. So I suspect a lot of people are going to hold their deer points this year and spend them next year. And a lot of people might be burning their elk points this year if they're into the first season hunts, instead of holding them for next year. So I just say that, read this hunt planner, because it's got a lot of date and deadline information in there, and it affects how other people apply. And your odds of drawing are sometimes affected by the behavior of the other applicant. So I'm always trying to keep track of what I think other people are going to do. There's never any guarantee, but I try to predict it. Probably wasting my time, but that's what I try to do. So let's say you put in for the limited entry draw. The results come out sometime in, I think this year they're telling us the first week of June. In prior years, we used to get it in the last part of May. But let's say you don't draw. Well, you've already bought this small game license. You've already bought this habitat stamp because you've applied or built points. Well, Colorado has a ton of units that you can go and hunt over the counter for archery elk or for second and third rifle elk. Like I said earlier, all the deer are on limited entry draw. But if you're an archery elk hunter or you want to hunt elk on the second and third rifle seasons, you're going to have an opportunity in Colorado in a lot of their units. Now, yeah, those units get a lot of pressure compared to the limited entry units. And yeah, the age class of the elk is younger because they're getting a lot of pressure. But you can still go. So, you know, with this whole tenuous thing right now of not knowing where the COVID coronavirus rules are going to be in play and what's going to be there by hunting season, maybe you buy your point now, but if things look a little better come August or September, you say, you know, I'm not quite as worried, or the future has at least got a little more clarity to it, so I am going to go to Colorado. Well, you can go to Colorado and take advantage of those second, third rifle seasons and the archery season. But look at the regulations. I can't overemphasize how important it is to look at the regulations, because the regulations will have maps that say, here are the units that you can do over the counter. One little thing to know, if you go down there to buy an over the counter tag after season has opened, you have to buy it from a Parks and Wildlife office. You can't buy it from the sporting goods store or Walmart or the local hardware store. So keep that in mind. Hunter education, if you're born after January 1 in 1949, you got to have proof of hunter education. If you're rifle hunting, you got to have 500 inches of hunter orange above your waist, plus a hat that's visible from both sides. Yeah, Colorado's got their share of, regulations and rules, but I love Colorado. I've hunted deer there many times. I've hunted elk there 5 times, I think. Biggest mule deer I've ever shot in Colorado. It's just they do a really good job of, trying their best to give as much opportunity as possible, which comes with a, lower age class. But yet there are some units, if you're willing to hang in there long enough for enough points, there are some units that have some really quality hunts. So for me, I know what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to apply for a first rifle hunt, October 10th through the 14th. I don't know if I'm going to draw, but it's not a unit that I expect to see 330-inch bulls running around. My purpose for doing it is there's fewer hunters in the field at that time. I've driven by that place so many times and I've said, someday I'm going to go elk hunting up there. I want to be up there in October when the aspens are yellow in the beautiful mountains of Colorado and have an elk tag in my pocket. So for that hunt, it's more about the experience of where I'm going to go than do I have to shoot a great big elk. No, I want to go there, experience that landscape, chase those elk, and odds are, first bull I see, if he's legal, if I see a bull, well, probably one I'm going to shoot. That's to me that those are the highlights of what's really going on right now in Colorado. The date change is probably the really, really big thing. It just you're going to have to look at it and just say, all right. And so then you get into this little bit of trying to predict what everyone else is going to do, right? So you're looking at your deer points this year, and you're like, well, everybody's going to burn their deer points next year. So add that to the whole uncertainty of the economy. I might be able to really get a screaming deal for my level of points this year compared to what it would have been in prior years. Because everyone with, 3 or 4 points above me, they're going to wait for next year. So instead of point creep, what if we see point recession or point withdrawal or whatever you'd call it, where this year it takes fewer points for certain hunts instead of more points for hunts? I don't want to opine or project what is going to happen in Colorado, but let's just say that there's a lot of uncertainty one way or the other. I'm sitting here scrolling through my Go Hunt application strategies for elk and deer. I could go on forever with this, but the whole idea behind the bonus podcast we do is try to keep them under a half hour. Hit the highlights, let people know that the deadlines are out there again, Colorado, April 7th. Let them know what has changed because we do these year after year, and a lot of you have been listening, watching our YouTube videos. We have our Colorado YouTube video up there on our YouTube channel, so you could do that. If you want a lot more information, the Go Hunt Insider is where I go. I'm reading their strategy article. It's so in depth. Crazy. Oh, one thing, this is one a good point I just saw scroll past here in the strategy article is point averaging for party applicants. In a lot of states, if someone has 5 points and someone has 3 points, that's an average of 4. So you go into the drawing with 4. Well, Colorado doesn't do it that way. Colorado says whatever the lowest person's point total is within your group, all of you go in with that point total. So in my example I just used, if someone has 5 and someone has 3, the party goes in with only 3 preference points. So be thinking about that. It's it can trip you up if you made the assumption that, oh, they'd average us. Colorado is changing how they're doing their leftover or returned and reissued tags this year. If that's something you're interested in, go read it. I'm not going to get into all the deep details of that. There's some pretty darn good hunts to be had there. What else could I be missing? Oh, the youth hunts. If you want to build points for the youth in your family, the kids, here's what it costs for a non-resident small game hunting license, which is the first thing you need to apply in order to hunt there, first thing you need to buy in order to apply there if you're under age 18. It's $1.26. And then you've got your application fee of $9. So you're $10, you're building a point for deer. Add another $9, you're building that. Oh, wait, no, the fee, they waive the fee. Let's back up there. For youth, for people under 18, they waive the point fee. So you can build points there for, crazy, $1.26, if I remember right. And then if you do want to go hunting there with a youth, the deer and elk tags are $103 for a non-resident. So Colorado is compared to most other Western states anyhow, they've really done a good job making it easier for young kids to build points or to go hunting. It's just, to me anyhow, that's a big investment in things going forward. If you're a muzzleloader hunter, Colorado has some pretty stout restrictions on that. Pay attention to what they are. I'm not going to get into all of them here, but it's about pelletized powder, ignition systems, and no optics on your muzzleloader. A lot of people will ask about a return or refund, and the rule this year is that if you get a hold of Colorado 30 days before season starts, I think you get 80% of it back. No, you get all of it back. I was confusing it with Montana. You get a choice. You either get your money back or you get your points restored. One or the other. But it's a $25 processing fee. You got to make up your mind. Do I want my points or do I want to give up my money? It might come into play. You know, this year with the uncertainty, maybe people will say, I think I'm going to apply. And if things aren't going well, I'll return the tag and get my money back. Or, you know, maybe they'll say, I'll just take a point. But anyhow, I could go into stuff for hours and hours about Colorado. Just understand the deadline April 7th, that it's a preference point system, and that you have to buy, you know, it's going to cost you some upfront fees, non-refundable upfront fees to get your point or to apply for your tag. And this is where we're pretty sensitive about how we're presenting content right now. You know, all of our stuff is free. And the reason it's free is we've got amazing companies who support us, and I sent them all an email about 3 weeks ago before the whole shelter in place rules came out and said, hey folks, you know, with this uncertainty, I'm not inclined to really promote stuff hard. And they all said, you know what, Randy, you don't have to promote us. We're here, we're going through the same thing, our employees are going through the same thing, we want you to just get your information out there. So that's why I didn't do the whole sponsor plug at the beginning of this podcast. I'm saving it for the end because I know a lot of you might drop off at the end and say, heck with that. I don't need to listen to that. But I'm really big about helping the people who help you. And I use an example of that. Here, there's a little coffee shop that I absolutely love, the people that's closed because of all this. And when this all passes, I'm going to go eat 3 meals a day at that little coffee shop just to try to support them. And the companies that are supporting me, supporting us, supporting these platforms, I'm going to do everything I can. And I want you to know who they are. You know, I'm not asking you that you got to go do anything, but this podcast is made available by Leupold, leupold.com, by Onyx Maps, and by Go Hunt. And if by some reason you want to go buy anything from them, use promo code Randy at Onyx and Go Hunt, and you'd save some money. And The other thing, we're excited that we're giving away. Maybe this will take someone's mind away from the troubles of the day. This year, we're giving away a Wyoming commissioner's tag to somebody. It's just because it's what we decided to do. In order to do that, it's anyone who used our promo code out at GoHunt. But that's not the reason for these podcasts. There's way more important things going on this time of our lives. I hope you're all healthy. I hope you stay healthy. And we'll get through this. Hunting season is not that far away. And probably all wondering, is there even going to be a hunting season? And got a lot on our mind about families and health and jobs and businesses and our employees and all that. I'm thinking of all you. I'm praying for all of you. And I hope you all stay safe and that we're all in this together. So thanks for listening. Be well.